Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested, your, yes, your favorite movie review podcast. I'm Jane Ellen.
I'm Adam Cravens.
And we have us in our presence, the Bill.
The Bill.
It's the, I believe, what they named the dollar bill after.
After?
If I remember correctly, his origin story.
This is true.
Speaking of which, I saw a $2 bill today. And the woman whose purse in which I was looking didn't seem to find it as fascinating as I did.
I mean, they're rare to see them out in the wild now. It's like seeing like a cockatoo or something.
It was almost like I was invading her personal space. But it's like, there's a $2 bill there.
I can't just
let that go.
She's like, I'm having none of that. I'm over here.
I'm from Charleston. I don't care. But that was pretty much it. Anyway, they never really caught on.
People need to understand that my inner monologue dominates what I'm allowed to think.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes up on there and it's a $2 bill or it's, you know, like a multi-breaded like hamburger, like that's the thing that I'm going to think about and talk about until I don't have any more information about it.
Mm-hmm. And we always have a lot of information. So
sometimes relevant, sometimes.
Mostly
irrelevant.
Yeah, we had a 20-minute conversation about Bill Shatner earlier. So,
just 20 minutes?
Well, just 20.
Initially, like,
why?
They had.
Did you not?
They described it as a discussion. And I was like, guys, it was really more of a symposium. I talked for 20 minutes and all of you nodded.
No, it really was just basically a TED Talk.
They were.
Why didn't you record it?
They were in some way, I felt, impugning William Shatner. And it was about Star Trek V, so
I
understand.
Okay.
But I always come to his defense, even when I don't know the people that they're... Like, if I just randomly hear a conversation, and I heard somebody, let's say, somehow impugn William Shatner, I find the need to defend him.
Yes, who doesn't?
Like, I mean, but like I'm Ben Matlock or like Perry Mason.
He deserves it.
Or it's, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird. That's how I go. Yana, I understand that you have your own personal feelings about William Shatner. But I'm here today to prove to the jury. Like, that's how
nice.
I do.
Yeah. Well, we want to say hello to Ed Thompson, who is our second faithful listener. Wendy and Ed.
I'll take that.
So we have two people who listen regularly, or at least admit to it. I know there are others.
I think it's a guilty pleasure.
Really think it is too.
I think we're like eating the entire pie like the day after Thanksgiving. Like you don't tell people, you're just like, oh yeah, I had some turkey, and then I ate two pecan pies in their entirety. Like it put me in a sugar coma. I had a stomach ache and I didn't wake up for 3 days, but my goodness, those pecans.
Yeah, I never tell anybody about those pies I eat. They just have to look at my silhouette.
You know, who
Or the empty frisbee pans, and they're like, "Where did that pie go?" It's been robbed.
It takes a lot of work to achieve this shape, you know, and some people just don't have the stamina for it.
Right, they just don't got what it.
I've been working on a rhombus like for years, but like shaping your body into that is
it's no good.
Hard.
You got lucky with diabetes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a big help for you.
I just want to pause for a moment and. You got lucky
with
diabetes. Okay, it's like looking at a 12-year-old and being like, "Man, you really lucked out with that acne."
Brother, I'm just
you got
a
lucky. It's cystic.
Glass half full kind of guy.
I guess.
So,
I mean, to be fair, I do watch what I eat now.
I know you are a food Nazi.
That's wow! Like I got lucky with diabetes, and I'm a Nazi. This is a Nazi day. This is quite the day.
So, as usual.
Takes us 10 minutes.
Oh, not yet. I know we have a lot to say.
Before we've even mentioned the name of the film that we're reviewing.
Okay, we'll tell you. The Grinch. First, one must ask, why?
Well,
why?
Because the world is ran by IPs.
All right.
Honest to goodness.
There are some people who might not know what an IP is. It's not Internet Protocol.
No, though that would be strange that I would be invoking Internet Protocol
while
talking about The Grinch.
Unless you were one of those Westworld bots.
I don't even think that's what they call them within the
fembots.
The
yeah,
there are no fembots.
I'm pretty sure they're fembots.
Have you seen any episode of Westworld?
I just saw the movie, but I'm sure there are fembots.
There's shagadelic fembots. Like, wait a minute, what? Right.
So
cross imagination
because of intellectual property.
Essentially, you don't want to have to educate the public about what it is you're trying to sell them, because that's just that much more like ad time you're going to have to buy up. Like, if I've got an original property, I have to make you want to come see that. Like, the reason why the Marvel movies are so popular at this point, like, they have built that IP like no franchise that I can think of has been able to do. When you see the name Marvel, there are a lot of people that they're going to see that movie. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. 3 years ago, my son looked at me and said something that I never thought I would ever hear. Dad, I want to be Ant-Man for Halloween. Holy cow. If you would have told me that when I was 8, that any kid would ever say they wanted to be Ant-Man for any reason.
3 years ago, my youngest said I want to be the Wasp. Therefore, I made her a bumblebee.
You were just like, I didn't, that's, what, there's another kind of Wasp.
But I worked with what I had.
They have built that up so much that you'll just go see that movie. And Dr. Seuss is a very strong IP. Now, granted, the Cat in the Hat, Mike Myers' version, mm-mm, was apparently so terrible that Seuss's widow said they could no longer do any live action versions of his books anymore. Like, if that tells you anything, that the widow of the creator steps in and just goes, no one can ever do anything like that again. You made it so terrible.
So does that mean it predated Seussical the Musical? Because that's live action.
I think it means like a film adaptation.
Right? All right.
Even though that is live and it is an action of sorts.
And we could go on, I'm sure, for a good hour about how did the Cat in the Hat become Martin Short? Because I cannot see anything Cat Hattery without the mincing.
You're talking about like the PBS series?
Yes, but the mincing, the this, that's like, oh, that's Martin Short. That's Martin Short.
No, the Mike, if you haven't seen the Mike Myers, the Cat in the Hat, don't.
Yeah.
If you haven't, like, you have dodged that bullet, like, the Lord has smiled on you this day, count your blessings.
Okay, Adam.
Yes.
What if
you
had to choose between Cat in the Hat and the Love Guru?
I would, what's the third option?
There is no third option.
Is a cyanide pill?
This is
pill,
not the Kobayashi,
like,
Maru.
Is that also a that man? That is the no win scenario.
It's
right,
like,
there.
What are you going to watch?
Oh my god! I'd reprogram the Kobayashi Maru. That's what I'd do.
Okay, so getting back to the movie you actually saw, that would be The Grinch.
Yes.
First, we'll actually talk about the movie first. How about that?
We can do that. We'll change things up.
Sure. Tell me about The Grinch. It's animated. It's not live action. Is it?
No. No.
Because I could actually see Benedict kind of grinchy. I could see that.
He would be a believable, like...
Yeah, there's a whole... He's got such an unusual facial structure, isn't it?
Man, you guys are just tossing out some hate to be... Like,
no,
I have
I love
diabetes,
him.
I'm a Nazi, and Benedict Cumberbatch has such a weird face.
He does, because he can look so different.
He just turned off the podcast.
Sometimes I look at him and go, he is so handsome. And then the other times I look at him and it's like, it's as if someone smushed all of his cheeks up under his eyes. And like, and he's down to like a triangle at the bottom of his face. And it's like, fascinating.
One of the oddest things
I love him, though,
that I noticed about this movie, and I'm going to, a lot of the comparison I'm going to be doing.
So it's animated.
Will be, yeah. To the Jim Carrey movie, which was live action. And I know your feelings on it, but comparing it to the made-for-TV holiday special is not fair. Like, it's like comparing any other Superman to Christopher Reeve. Like, there is no comparison. Both of them are taking heavy elements from that movie. It just, that is the best version of The Grinch. Like, I don't want to say it definitively, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, no one will ever touch that Grinch, no matter how many versions of it that they do.
It's perfect.
That is going to be the quintessential, like, Grinch. I don't think it's something that's ever going to coalesce like that again. The backstory that they give the Grinch and kind of the reasoning for, like, what he is doing in this movie is more realistic than the live action version. Like, the live action version felt more like a cartoon, but the cartoon and the performance that Benedict Cumberbatch gives in this movie almost has like a pathos, like, to it feels more real than the live action version did, even though it is actually the cartoon.
Watching the live action was, I'm sure, somewhat akin to waterboarding, I'm guessing.
I think there are a lot of things wrong with that movie. However,
but I wanted to love it.
I like Carrie as the Grinch.
I know you like Carrie.
But
you like Carrie.
It really, I think it's one of those things that I love him so much. Like, I can't see when he does wrong. Like, I can't quit him.
Well, right? And you have the lasting legacy of This Is Christmas, right? Like the Faith Hill song.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Every year we are treated, in quotation, to that song.
With me singing it.
I've played that song.
Oh, with me singing it. No, not playing it. Like, I don't play it fondly and remembering it.
Oh, no.
Like, I rock it out, and I usually do it in, like, I will find, like, a blues singer whose voice I will try to, like, imitate.
Yeah.
Yes. And I will then sing it in that.
I see.
It's horrible. I can only imagine what other people think when they have to hear it, but I think it's hysterical.
I think that's great.
And I find a reason to do it, often at inappropriate times.
Well, that has value to me. I mean, but when the live action came out, and I was sure I was, why? But still, I thought, well, this could be great. It's got Ron Howard.
I will remind you, it in the U.S. alone, it made like $270 million.
And I complained with every dollar I read about it. It's like, what is wrong with you people? What?
I'm just saying. And
it's like The English Patient. They just keep going.
For what it's worth, I was wondering why they had done one so soon. I'm just like, well, the Jim Carrey version just came, and then I did math.
Yeah, was it 20 years ago?
No, it's just 18. Only 18 years ago. I was like, oh, dear. There is a longer distance between when they made Return of the Jedi and The Phantom Menace. Like, there's a shorter span of time than the difference between Grinch movies.
Okay,
That's how much time has passed. So my perception of time is wrong.
So we're going to treat this more like Halloween. Everything in the middle, ignore that, and we'll just do a comparison.
Yes, this is not
of
this
the
is
first
not the
one
expanded
and the last one.
The expanded Grinch universe.
Okay. So, it starts at a different point in time. He's not going all the noise.
It is not a direct adaptation of the snippet.
Does he say noise?
Not in the way that he.
Does he have a British accent? Does he solve crime?
Well, I don't think. I would watch that. Yes. Man, if you need a Grinch TV show, like amalgamating Sherlock and the Grinch while Benedict Cumberbatch is playing. Oh, dear.
Yes.
And he solves the Seuss mysteries.
Well, there are so many.
Whatever. I don't know what the name of it is yet.
Yes. Yes, I greenlight that.
There's Netflix.
So where does it start?
You are getting, like, chronologically, where does the film, like, or to what time period does it cut?
Either.
I'm just curious. You ask a question. I want to make sure I answer it before I run off into a tangent.
I've seen the other one a gajillion times, so.
It's about the point that the Jim Carrey film started. It's slightly before Christmas.
I have
slightly before Christmas
that movie from my mind because it caused me too much pain.
I don't
know when that started.
I think you're maybe there's some hyperbole like with your hatred of that film.
I have a 9-year-old, and for the last 9 years
I bet he has.
We have tried to find good Christmas movies to watch. We've not yet watched that movie. And we watch at least 10 every year.
Wow.
I'm just going to say, I think, and maybe my blind love of Jim Carrey is daredeviling me, like, in this situation.
If I have to put the live action on our usual comparative line
of Toy Story to Human Centipede.
Human Centipede.
That's our scale.
It's falling more towards Centipede.
Basically, everything falls in between those two movies. Every movie that has ever been made, ever will mm-hmm. be made, falls somewhere in between Toy Story and the Human Centipede.
This is my new scale.
Yes, it's the Jane Ellen scale, and I expect a Wikipedia page on it at any time. You can apply it to anything.
And like, and it doesn't even, like, we're not even certain exactly what it quantifies. She'll just be like, where does this fall? Where does this movie fall? And I'm like, well, it's animated, so I guess it's closer to Toy Story.
Yes.
Like, every answer I give is a question. I'm just like, I don't... what is it?
It unlocks the mind in such mysterious ways.
It really does. And it's applicable to any situation. Any situation. Where your pain, the pain that you're feeling right now, where is it on a scale from Toy Story to Human Centipede?
What if they made the Human Centipede with all Grinches?
Or what was it we decided? Get the people that made A Bug's Life to remake Human Centipede and do it in a Pixar... it applies everywhere, and you don't even know what to say after you've reached that point that you're like, oh, I finally quantified it, and then you're like, wait, no, what have I done? I'm confused.
Now that we're 16 minutes in, I need to ask, did you like the movie?
I found it satisfying, but again, I still don't think it touches the original. Like, I think it does a lot of stuff right. I'm sure that it's going to be popular. As the Illumination films like tend to be, Despicable Me.
Who else is in it?
Angela Lansbury shows up at one point, mm-hmm. which is nice because I had assumed that she was gone at
this
point.
What's wrong with you? That woman will last forever.
What is the last thing you heard that Angela, and do not say Murder, She Wrote, because that went off the air 25 years ago.
After Murder, She Wrote, isn't that didn't she then go to do Anna Grace? What's the Barber of Seville? What's the
Demon
Sweeney
Barber
Todd.
Of Fleet Street?
Sweeney Todd. When did she do Sweeney Todd?
Okay, I just asked you what name me the last that you're asking me now. I'm pointing out what has she done in the last, let's say, 15 years?
Something.
Do not get your phone.
I know she has done some Broadway appearances in the past 15 years. However, I cannot name them. I can name her first film, though.
Was that a little Mrs. Potts that I heard in there?
But now I need to know. What does she voice? The dog?
She's like the mayor or the, I don't know, the constable.
Did you just answer her question?
Possibly.
Mrs. Potts?
That would be great if that was her name. No, Mrs. Potts is the name of her character
from
Beauty and the
Beast.
That's
what I'm saying. That's probably the last time we saw her.
Well, I think Murder, She Wrote ended after she was Mrs. Potts. And let me just tell you, I love that movie.
Murder, She Wrote went into the 90s?
I think it ran up to like 95 or 96. Like, Murder, She Wrote was on like not quite as long as Gunsmoke. But I'll bet you, like, there could have been a crossover at some point. It was on so long. I'd watch that crossover, by the way.
Let's see. I'm trying to find... Oh, I went to the wrong place.
Angela Lansbury time travels back to the Old West to help Matt Dillon. Oh, my good. I've done it again.
It's always Matt Dillon.
I have nothing but good ideas.
Good night. It's like all of a sudden I can't use the internet properly.
It's Angela Lansbury. Shut it down. She's the Matrix.
I know she's done stuff.
You've been potsed.
Wow, Beauty and the Beast was 91?
Yeah.
Okay, she's gotten 5 Tonys, 6 Golden Globes, and...
I didn't say she's lived a hollow life. I just said, what has she done in the last 25 years?
What have you done for me lately? I should have gone to IMDb. This is why people listen to this show. Because
to listen to
the
us
rambling.
Go to IDM. IDMBB.
Much like my sister who reads the internet to me, we're just here to look stuff up and read the internet.
And
to you.
In a moment of Grinchception,
yes,
it appears that she starred with Mr. Carey in Mr. Popper's Penguins in 2011.
There was the place I couldn't go with Jim Carrey. Like that, Mr. Popper's Penguins, like I couldn't make it through the movie. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
See, that looked like it would be not irritating.
No, it, like, you remember when
Wait a minute, maybe I saw it. It's a bunch of penguins in an apartment.
Would you assume that a movie named Mr. Popper's Penguins, like, unless he is just like a penguin enthusiast, how many movies is he going to do?
If Danny DeVito was in it, I would assume it would be excellent.
Oh, I'd watch that, Mr. Popper's Penguin.
Mr. Popper.
Oh,
is
it's
a
just
penguin.
Jim Carrey and like the penguin, like him from Batman Returns, living together.
Yes.
At all, I will watch that. I don't remember what the question was now.
Anyway,
oh,
so well, that
anyway,
was
that was Jim Carrey's Daddy Daycare for me. Like I couldn't follow him there. I Eddie Murphy, I will defend with my last breath unless you bring up Daddy Daycare, and then I'm just like, listen, they're not all gems. I can't.
But again, if we apply our linear code, Daddy Daycare for me leans more toward Toy Story as opposed to what's the one in the fat suit? What's that?
Which one in the fat suit?
The clumps.
You talking about the clumps or Norbit?
Norbit.
Okay.
Norbit.
He doesn't just have one with a fat suit. Like you have to specify which one you mean.
Okay. So getting back to the movie you actually saw.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Angela Lansbury.
Yes. She's in it.
Yes.
And that's all you recall.
She's in there for most of the other names in it are not like very noteworthy like actors. You've got a lot of like vocal talent in there, but they're not necessarily popularized in other or
whatever.
They're definitely not us.
They're not us. Okay.
Or I've just forgotten.
So I guess my biggest question is it was so concisely done in the original cartoon. What is added to make this, I guess, 90 minutes or more?
Most of it would be best summed up as why the Grinch stole Christmas. Like,
oh,
it because the original, like, he doesn't explain to you, like, why he was hurt, like, what drove him to steal. He has to stop Christmas from coming.
Yeah.
You don't get a reason for it. He's not like I was doing this.
And yet he's a dog owner.
Which they actually, like, Max is kind of the thing that helps him find his humanity.
Come to think of it, Hitler was also a dog owner, so. Is that what they were saying?
I don't think so. I mean, most Illumination films don't touch on really Nazi anything.
Okay. I just wondered if it was a little subtext. That's all.
I don't know this for a fact. Scott Mosier, one of the co-directors. I can tweet him, see if maybe there was some context that I was not privy to.
Okay, so his dog helps him become a better person,
yes.
Which is totally believable.
And of course, Cindy Lou Who also like helps him find. And like I said, when I say realistic, I understand that I'm applying it to like the town of Whoville and a man whose heart grows like three sizes, like all of things which are not really real.
Now, here's something that I'd never really thought about before. You have the town of Whoville. Are they not the same Whos that Horton heard?
Yes.
I'm going to go out there and say it's probably probable that like the one fish, two fish, red fish, blowfish are also part of
okay,
that.
Okay, it's
universe.
Not red fish, blowfish. That's a totally different movie.
That was Hootie and the Blowfish's fourth album. I'm sorry, I've forgotten about
one
that.
One fish, two fish, puffer fish, blowfish.
That was the lesser red sequel that he did.
You should know I have a one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish Christmas ornament, and
because
that's why we're talking about the Grinch.
There's also like a Cat in the Hat Returns book. There's a Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat.
Okay. I have a problem with thing one and thing two. They made me really anxious, okay? Because they were going to screw stuff up, and then the kids would get in trouble, and it really, I mean, anxious. I hated them.
They are metaphors for everyone's cousin, like, I think.
I hated them, and I still do, and they really bother me.
I will guarantee you there is going to be an animated Cat in the Hat, like,
again,
announced within the next 2 years.
Okay.
Especially if this thing hits the way they want it to.
Oh, I'm sure. They'll still start sousing up here and there.
So I've always enjoyed the Illumination films. Does this one hit on the funny?
I don't think it nails it the way that the Despicable movies, those really just sold me. Like,
yeah.
I adore them, and no small part thanks to
Steve Carell.
Well, I was going to go with Michael Scott, but we can call him by his
sure,
real
whatever.
Name too. Like those films, like they just they work for me. Like the cylinders are just pumping. I don't think it is necessarily on a Despicable level. But the film works. Like Illumination, like outside of, let's say, Pixar, probably has the best track record for animation, like of the last, mm-hmm. let's say, 15, 20 years.
So kids whose parents didn't love them enough to show them the 1968 version of The Grinch and will have nothing to compare it to, they are going to be over the moon?
I think they will be satisfied with this. I think some of my disappointment for it is that, like, I want to compare it to the gold. I mean, honestly, the Seuss adaptation aside, it's kind of a holiday. It's the gold standard of holiday TV specials. Mm-hmm. Like that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty mm-hmm. the Snowman are also part of. Like maybe is it a Charlie Brown Christmas or is it, mm-hmm. what is the name of it? It's not like it's Charlie Brown or it's Christmas Brown, Charlie Christmas, Brown or something. Whatever the case, the kind of those quintessential holiday films that CBS like lines mm-hmm. up that week before Christmas, that is part of like that pantheon. And every time I watch that, that's the one that I'm comparing it to. Any adaptation of The Grinch, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it's not going to, it can't stand that kind of scrutiny. And if you go in with that mindset as an adult who is more than likely seen that special, it will not meet your standard. As a kid that is unaware possibly of either of the other Grinch movies, because at this point one of them's 20 years old and the other is 50, is that right?
About.
It was 70s, isn't it?
I thought it was 68.
Wow.
But
well, I'm saying, like, it's
close enough,
it's long in the tooth. A kid that goes in without any of that kind of preconceived whatever, I think they will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's going to be the parent that is sitting there just being like, well, that doesn't sound like you.
So the kid that I talked to today named Daniel, who didn't know that there was an Elton John song named Daniel, would, in theory, love this because clearly he has no sense of history.
Or like a little girl whose name is Layla and doesn't know about Eric Clapton. Yes, I think it has got enough of what makes those Illumination movies work that they are going to be satisfied with it.
Okay.
Like, it's still a solid movie. It's just when you're touching hallowed ground like that, it's like somebody trying to remake The Godfather.
Now,
like, it will almost certainly not live up to the original.
One more important thing. We have The Grinch, and is it called The Grinch or How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
It is just The Grinch.
Okay. So,
not a Grinch.
But in this one, it's the same story as How the Grinch Stole
Essentially,
Christmas.
Essentially,
so does that mean it's going to follow the Ernest films? Will The Grinch go to camp? Will he steal Easter? Well, is it going that way?
I can tell you that I hope so.
Okay.
And if Jim Varney in animated form could somehow meet the Grinch, like,
that'd be awesome.
I would be there with bells on.
Okay.
I did consider this while I was watching it, though, and this kind of touches on something you and I covered a couple weeks ago. Alan Rickman mm-hmm. would have made a spectacular Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, live action, animated, like,
anything.
Reading, like, just doing a book on much in the way that Alan Rickman is always good. Like, if Alan Rickman made you a hamburger, you better believe that hamburger would be the best hamburger that you would ever
have.
You would be talking about that hamburger 10 years after you had that hamburger.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, like, you would ask me, who is the modern day Severus Snape
mm-hmm.
or Alan Rickman as his name? I think it's Benedict.
I think you're right.
I think if you can plug...
He's been a green creature now. He's been a dragon. He's been gone. He's been Sherlock. He's been, the guy with the
problem-solving.
Yes,
he's been a guy.
Solving,
he's been
the
several
problem-solving
guys.
Guy. You know, that guy. You
Batman?
Know. No.
Sherlock.
Batman?
No. For the World War II thing. And he's did the...
Was he a magician?
The code thing. That one.
Oh, you're talking about Benedict Cumber. I was looking for Alan Rickman movies.
No.
Oh, okay, yes.
Alan Rickman wasn't a dragon, was
he? You're talking about Imitation Game.
Yes!
Okay, there you go. I'm sure during the course of his career, he voiced a dragon somewhere.
So, Alan Rickman
probably. Animated.
So I'm just saying, Benedict has been so many
you can honestly
iconic things.
Plug those two, like, ages aside, like, what role
and
role
Dr.
can you
Strange.
Not interchange the two of them and it still work? Like,
yeah.
remake Die Hard with, let's say, John Favreau directing, Chris Pratt as John McClane, mm-hmm. and Benedict Cumberbatch as the main villain. Like, that movie would still work mm-hmm. with him in that role.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that.
Alan Rickman as the voice of Smaug. Like, that were, I'm just saying, like, literally, you can take any role they have played over the years, and I think you could probably make it work. And I couldn't come up with it the other day, but mm-hmm. I do think he is the modern equivalent of Alan Rickman.
You know how I know I'm doing parenting right? My eldest child walked outside into the cold and went, "Look, I'm Smaug." See? And that made me feel good.
And she pronounced it correctly.
Yeah. I don't fool around.
Oh, man. I love jumping on people when they're like, "It's Smaug the dragon."
Smag?
And I'm like, "Smag? It's Smaug. Smaug, not Smog. You don't breathe it in. You're not in California. Smaug. Smaug, Smaug. Smaug. Oh.
Anyway, so The Grinch, you would say, go see it. It's pleasant. You'll enjoy it, probably.
It's non-essential.
Will we hear the song? Is he a mean one, Mr. Grinch?
Another question that was raised in it. Like, you have a lot of holiday classics that are being, like, and they're not, it's not versions within the, like, it's not a Who singing it. It is the, like, if it Bing Crosby singing, mm-hmm. they are playing those, like, diegetically in the movie.
Diegetically? Really?
Yeah. I hit you with that. I got a degree in film. Get off my case.
Diegetically.
What I'm saying is they are recognizing those versions of that song, which means there is either a Who Bing or Bing Who. Like, all of these people that sing these holiday.
By the way, Bing did not sing. Bing Green one, Mr. Grinch.
No, I'm not saying he sung that one, but I'm saying he sings.
So I don't want
to
hear.
There's a holiday classic.
I don't want to hear a Who
there's,
person
there's
as
like,
Bing Crosby.
There's like a rap
it.
Version of it in this. It's not. It's a hip hop or something.
I was just going to say that.
I
if
think
they're
it's,
rapping it.
It's something like that.
Well, Pharrell Williams, the Grammy winning producer, is the narrator.
Yeah, so stop dumping on Pharrell.
I love Pharrell.
Like he narrates the movie.
Oh.
So, it's not, yeah, so Anthony Hopkins, it's not, the Boris Karloff, like, wasn't, like, pulled out of mothballs, huh. like, for anything.
Yeah, I guarantee there's some sort of synergy there between the soundtrack and
yes,
his
I'm sure
narration.
There is. Okay, that answered that.
But, like I said, the music, okay, so, if they can hear those holiday, and like I said, it is the version that you always hear. It's the one that's on the radio, mm-hmm. like, it's not a version of it that they re-recorded for this. Do those people exist within the Who universe.
I just wanted to know if you
the
hear
Seussiverse.
The song. That's all I wanted to know.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to know if you heard the song.
Yes.
All right. So, The Grinch. That is it. And next week is Grindelwald.
I believe Grindelwald.
Grindelwald.
Which, have you noticed that they have Harry Potter toys like back in stores? Even though Harry Potter does not appear. Like, they've got Hermione toys, like, they never had Ron toys, and, like, Harry toys, like, Dumbledore, who is in this movie. Like, I ain't seen no Dumbledore, like, mm-hmm. stuff anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen, like, I think it's interesting that they're still making toys for those movies that ended, like, 8 years ago.
They're not still making them. They're offloading.
Never stopped. They never stopped making them.
The extra yeah. supplies they
have. You're just like, listen, we pumped $12 billion out of that thing. We've still got these in the Harry Potter warehouse, all right?
Nice. Well, I really hope it's good, because that's the movie I've been waiting to see.
You've got the same writer, JK's involved. You have the same director that did last three.
JK?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We tweet.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't respond, but I tweet her all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you want to come over? You want to hang out? You want to watch Harry Potter?
No.
Don't block me. No, I don't even get the no. Maybe that's why. She's muted me.
Okay, well, that will be next week, and I am very much looking forward to that. So thank you, Bill, for lending your voice to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.